I really want to extend to you how appreciative I am. I don't take it lightly, especially when, you know, most of you probably have never seen me before. But you allowing me to come and to preach tonight means a great deal to me. And I want to tell you that I truly appreciate it very, very much. But I want you to pray for me. I want the Lord's will to be done. And I want this to be a help to you. I've struggled with the title because I don't know. I've got one word the Lord gave me. And I'll have to take it just a tad. It's an odd reading where it's located, but it just is what it is. And you pray for me. I'm going to read a couple of verses and then go to the book of Hebrews. And before I do, I want to say that it's very important for us to heed to this, because I was reading Ezekiel, and the Bible said there that the battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Yeah. Now, I've thought a whole lot about that and what it means spiritually, not just literally. Whether we know it or not, we're in a battle. Yeah. And it's one of great cost. And it overwhelms me sometimes when I think about how few of us there really are. And if you don't know it, From a long time ago, this woman, which I believe to be the Lord's church, Satan has sought to destroy her since her conception. But the Bible says something that's interesting to us, brethren. It tells us that, he made an attempt early on, and yet he failed, thank God for that. And yet the Bible says he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, if you don't pay attention, you'll skim over the top of that. A woman don't have a seed, naturally. But this one does. And I want you to think about that, and it's very important. But I'm going to read these two verses and get to the book of Hebrews. And for whatever reason, I'm pressed in my spirit to say this before I begin. If you want to turn to the 88th division of Psalm, verse 15 first. And then I'll read out of 1 Corinthians 7 a verse. But often down through the age that I've been around, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. And you know, that's true. We all have trial, tribulation, and struggles. When I first read about Job, it was hard for me to comprehend that book in the Bible. Still is. Can't lie about it, to be quite frank. But I want some of you to know that there's people here that I know have had some struggles. And from afar, I want you to know I admire you for your steadfastness. And this is on my heart. I hope you can hold on to the Lord. People are watching you. And you're making a difference, I promise you that. And I hope you can move from you don't know what I'm going through to look what God brought me through. I hope that'll help you. In the book of Psalm in 88 and 15, and you pray for the word of the Lord that it have free course. He said, I am afflicted and ready to die. From my youth up, while I suffer thy terrors, he said, I am distracted. Now, I don't write out sermons, so you know, but I do sometimes sketch out some definitions because of how important that they are. And I'm going to read two or three to you and turn to 1 Corinthians 7:35, and Paul's addressing the church at Corinth, and he is speaking about celibacy or marriage and its importance. And I found this verse, and I wanted to read it to you, and I hope you can apply it as it is, and then it's spiritual, but it helps me gain traction on this. But he said in verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit. And that's truly what I want to do tonight. Whatever the Lord has in this message, I want it to profit you. I want you to grow from it and be on guard from it. But he said, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, you've heard that word twice already, hadn't you? So I'm going to leave this. First, let me give you these couple of definitions. And And I want you to think about you as an individual, but you as an individual in the Lord's church. If you don't know, Satan has his eye on the Lord's church. And not for any good reason whatsoever. But it means to draw apart, to separate, to divide for the purpose of confusion. It also means to draw toward different objects of affection in order to bring perplexion or confusion. Now, there's a lot of competition for mine and your affection today, isn't there? We know that we're to set our affections on things above, not on things below. But people are struggling with that, brethren, and I can't tell you that I don't, and you wouldn't be honest if you say that you don't. We got to be honest, don't we? None's better than the other. I don't like people that want to just point fingers at me. You know, I know my humanity, don't you? To disorder, cause disorder to derange or to interrupt regular operation. Now, you might understand where we're trying to get to tonight. And I want to say to you that I'm going to read out of Hebrews, and I've got a few verses of scripture here, and I want to give you this thought that the Lord's give me, and I want you to take it as a help. But I want to say to all of you here, and I hope that you can take this in, but I want you to just think about this. Don't be distracted. We need to be focused. If there's ever been a time that we need our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's now. Now, a mule is a beast of burden. And naturally within him is the desire and willingness to carry the load and to bear the burden. But they're easily distracted. So somebody came up with a real good idea. They put blinders on them. Did y'all know that? And that's to keep them focused. I'll tell you what we need tonight. We need some blinders on. And I'll tell you the best way to get them on is through the Word of God. Because we need to be focused. Now, why? There's a multitude of reasons why we need to be. People are counting on the Lord's church. We're the salt of the earth. We're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We're the light of the world. Now you say, well, I thought the Lord was. Well, He is. But He's shining in this dark world through His church. I believe that with all my heart. Now, in the book of Hebrews, and you'll be familiar, in chapter 12, in verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now notice this part. Looking unto Jesus, what a better example. You know, I've had men that I looked up to and women and people, but, you know, we ought to look to Jesus for our example. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. Now watch this. Who for the joy that was set before him, he already knew, he understood what he come here for. He knew his course. He knew what was ahead of him. And yet the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him. But he had to finish. You understand? I believe that when he died on the cross, he uttered some words that are precious to me. He looked up to his Father and he said, it is finished. And he had the power to commend his spirit into the hands of his Father. And I'm glad he had the power to take it up again. And I'm glad I'm justified tonight by faith. Aren't you tonight? Aren't you glad you've got something you know about? That you've experienced the same power within your soul that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. I once was dead and in sin and in trespasses, but I'm one of those whom he hath quickened or made alive. I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you? But he said he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, brethren, it's a lot causing people to fall off today. There's a number of good brothers and sisters that have fell by the wayside for one reason or the other. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Don't trample them down. We need to go, and I'm telling you, the Lord's church needs her members to come back and be a part. We're living in some trying times. There's things that are vying. I'm telling you, I hate for your and my children, grandchildren, to have to grow up in these days. These are indeed perilous times, dangerous, risky. I've never seen this. You know, I'm a child of God by birth, now I'm telling you, but I'm proud to be a Baptist. I don't believe there is nothing else to be. I believe we are the Lord's church with all my heart. But we're under assault. Now, this besetting to enclose, to hem in. Now, think about this. To perplex, entangle, to render an escape impossible or difficult. Now, do you believe that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices? And brethren, if he's ever had them, he's got them today. He's got snares and entanglements all around. Now, I'm not going to worry your patience. I want to get this off of me. But I want to start by talking to lost people first. If you don't believe that you can be distracted, you're dead wrong. And I'm going to look no further than Eve in the garden. The commandment came to Adam. It was simple, and it still is. Honey, I know that God looked out. He looked at a time of ignorance, of idol worship. And the Bible said at this time of ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, repentance is not new. If you want proof of that, some need it. Matthew 12. The Bible tells me that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas. I heard someone say that only the priests could approach God. Well, they've missed a lot of people that approach God in prayer. Men and women. It's wrote in my Bible. I can read it. But brethren, my thought for you is don't be distracted. There's nothing more precious than the Lord's church. We need to be committed to telling the lost of this world what they must do to be saved. Did you know they depend? Think about this. All of the ones before you and me, where would we be tonight without them? What if they had gotten distracted, beset, entangled, and fell away? Where would you be? Tonight, I guarantee you, you can look into your heart. Somebody somewhere, Brother Jeff mentioned it, meant something to you, said something to you, preached something to you, invited you to come. We were in revival and we went an extra night and one girl had gotten saved on Sunday night. Well, she's a grown woman. And she went to a co-worker the next day and told her about it and said, would you come? That little girl came to the Lord's house. She got saved. I'll never forget. Got up, makeup just running everywhere. And you know, she made a statement that has impacted me from many, many years ago. She said, all my life, I've wanted somebody to invite me to go to church. And here she was grown. So you see, somebody out there is just waiting for you to invite them to come to church. So I want you to remember that. You can make a difference. But Eve was the commandment to given to Adam. And he makes sure that Eve understands. And yet, here comes the old devil. And you know, Eve's word in verse 13 was this, that Satan had beguiled her or deceived her. You know, somehow along the way from just one commandment and all of these trees in the garden, but yet this one that they had been instructed not to take and eat thereof, you see, here he comes and he distracts and he beguiles and he deceives, and look at the outcome of it. It's affected all mankind. But you see, it never stops there. It went further. Adam being at her side, and she takes and gives to him, and he takes and he did eat. Then the eyes of them both were opened. So I want to say to you, sinner friend, if God has been gracious enough to you, I don't know, there may not be a lost soul in this house, but I want you, if you're lost, to know that you can get easily distracted tonight. And I pray, God, that you'll stay focused, and when God deals with your heart and when you feel condemnation in your soul, honey, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and bow down to him. And friend, I'm telling you, what we need is we need to pray for broken-hearted sinners. I don't believe there's any other way to the Lord except with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I'm telling you, I experienced it both. I was crushed in my soul when I was lost. And you know, I'm so grateful that as great as that burden of conviction was, it was just as sweet when the peace that passeth all understanding swept into my soul. Oh, what a night or day that was for me. But now I want to move forward, and I want to get to the book of Exodus. And you'll know that God has brought out the children of Israel. And he brought them out first with the blood of the Lamb. Can you see the picture tonight? He brings them to the Red Sea. And he gives them dry ground to cross. He circled himself behind them. And the Bible said that the cloud and God covered them. If you go to the Corinthian letter, we're going to find that they were baptized there in the Red Sea. Now that was all a type and a shadow tonight, looking forward to today when the Lord's church would be available. So these people have come out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb, baptized in the sea, and then they are in the wilderness, but they were referred to as the people of God. You know what we're referred to in the New Testament? Honey, the people of God. I've been saved by grace through the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the baptism and to be baptized into the body of Christ. Hence, we're the people of God. Now, I believe every person saved is a child of God. I believe that. But I also read in Galatians to where there is the Israel of God. Now, that's not my message, but I sure would love to preach on that. But God don't give me the opportunity what I want to. He tells me what to do, and I try to follow him. But now these people are in the wilderness, and when they left, they had no possession of their own. But God gave them the spoil of Egypt, gold and such. And they come out, and Moses is with them. They're going through trials. And I want you to know, Moses goes to the Mount of God, and they're left there. And what do they do? Easily, they got beset, entangled, distracted. And honey, they didn't even have cell phones and computers and TVs and all the devices out here in the world that is vying for our attention. They didn't have it. So you see, it's commonplace to mankind. Now, I want you to know that Aaron, the first high priest of God, you know, a lot of times, if you've got a good pastor, and I believe you do, you ought to be grateful. If he has to preach a chastening message, hug his neck. Because I tell you, it'll hurt him more than it does you. That's true. But they took the gold earrings out of their ear. That God had blessed them with. Do you understand? And they melted it. And who did they give it to? Aaron. The one that was responsible for their well-being. And they melted or molted that, is melted it in. And he took a graven tune and he formed it out into a golden calf. Wonder where they learned that. That's back when they's in bondage. And you'd have thought it was the people, but it was Aaron. These be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. And what did they do? They rose up to play, the Bible said, gathered around the golden calf, and there they began to dance and play. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, brethren, that Aaron built an altar to that golden calf, and they sacrificed to him. So don't think you can't be distracted. I wonder today, and I'll move on. Sometimes I tend to linger too long one place. But do you think as you look around it today that God has been good to the United States of America? We're living in the golden age, brethren. I've never been hungry. I've never been without clothes. I've had electricity all my life. Honey, I got born again, found the Lord's church. I've never had real troubles like my forefathers did. I've never worried about eating or all of these things. God's blessed me above measure. But do you believe like them that we've turned the blessings of God and we've started worshiping them and we've made these blessings our God? I do. God help us. Now, can I stop long enough to tell you? These things are written for our example or examples, right? What I'm trying, I'm not pointing a finger at you. I don't want us to fall after these examples. There's too much at stake. I look at these little boys and girls running around in this community. If Macon County's like Smith County, honey, I'm telling you, it's terrifying. Honey, it used to be full of light. And the darkness was out on the edge. But, you know, as the light begins to diminish, the darkness begins to surround it. And the darkness grows. And I'm telling you, it's happening to us. But I don't take the blessings of God and honey make gods. I wanted to get to this. I'm just going to get to it. And, you know, I just believe the Lord knows best, don't you? I'll study and then think, you know, the Lord's give it right, but then I'll get up here and it's all different. That's all right, too. This ain't the first time I've read that book, but I don't know very little. But I just want the Lord to have his way. So let's look at this. Matthew, and I believe it's 14, and you'll all be familiar with Peter. And I love the Apostle Peter. I know sometimes we look at him in a negative light, but oh, we ought not to. I can get over here in his right and show you a grown-up man that experience shaped him. Failures made him stronger. Now, he ain't the first one ever failed, and he won't be the last one. But I want you to know he's out here, and do you believe that the Lord's always a-looking after us? He had sent them on a journey. If he sends you on a journey, honey, I'm telling you, you're going to get there. Sorry, I can't help it. I do this a little. If you don't say amen, I really get wound up. And he was on a high mountain watching them. And you know, all at once a tempest came. Let me tell you, brethren, you live long enough and you'll find yourself in the storm. Some are going to be harder than others. I want you to know that our shepherd's watching over us. He knows all about it. And they begin to row and the tempest came and, you know, they begin to fear. I'm telling you, I'm sure as the wind roared and the thunder rolled and the lightning flashed and the waves dashed, friend, I'm sure, you know, they were afraid. Sure they were. Lord saw him and here he comes. Isn't that comforting? You need to look for him. If all you see is the storm, you've missed it. He's in the storm. He's on top of it. And you know, As Peter looked at first, they were frightened till he spoke to them. You know, so I want to look at this real quick. There's just maybe one place I ought to look at. I don't know, maybe I don't need to, but I just thought about this one thing that he said. You know, Peter looks out at Jesus, and this storm is raging, and he sees his Lord, and you know, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Now this is one, I'm telling you, it's short and sweet. Boy, this is good. You know what the Lord said? Come. And Peter, before he knew it, was out of the boat. And he started toward him. Now, I'm not one of these preachers say I know how many steps he took. I don't know. Don't make no difference. Because I'm going to tell you the part that nobody preaches. I don't know. Well, that's the wrong statement. Bless y'all's heart. I didn't mean that way. You know, he looked over here to the left and the right, and he looked at the waves, and he looked at the storm. Aren't you glad, though, that Jesus shows up in the storm? He promised he'd never leave or forsake us. But you see, Peter got distracted. He looked at the boisterous waves, and all of a sudden he realized, what am I doing? And he began to sink. You ever been like that? And some have asked me, how far did he sink? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Far enough. But he had time to cry out. Now, this wasn't for being born again. Every time saved mentioned the Bible don't mean born again. He said, Lord, save me. Is there a lot of people that benefited from this? All of us did. And the Lord reached down. He's never too far away that he can't be reached. And when you don't have any strength to reach for him, he'll reach down for you. And he pulled Peter up, and the Bible said when they both came into the boat, how'd they get there? You ever thought about that? Peter walked on water again. If the Lord didn't carry him, the Bible don't say. What happened when they came into the boat? The storm is over. And there's a calm that comes. Brethren, you just hang on. There's a great calm coming. There's peace in the storm. Just don't get distracted. Don't forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go over to the book of Luke. And you'll remember this. There's two sisters. And I believe chapter 13 there. And I want you to know that they heard that the Lord was coming to Martha's house. And you'll remember this well. And I want to maybe look at this one thing. To cumber. Simply means perplex, distract, trouble, or confuse. Now, what I'm trying to tell you all, honey, it's dangerous to be distracted. It's got unbelievable consequences. So we find in the Bible that Jesus comes, and the Bible said Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the word. I'm reminded of something that just, I love this. Now, it's commonplace for the disciple in that day to sit at the master or the rabbi's feet and learn. I read about, about how blessed were the feet of them that preached the gospel. And why? Because they're supposed to walk in the same path of the old brethren. I want you to know where to keep this trail. Beat down. You know, aren't you glad when you look at this old path? Have you ever stopped to consider who walked it before us? They tread it down. They went through the wild. Boy, there's been some profitable men. I can't imagine God looking down and calling somebody like me to follow in their footsteps. Oh my, what a weak vessel I am. But it's an honor to try. And you know what I get most out of? For the Word of God to help people and to strengthen people. I don't want this church, you know. I said to your pastor, you've got young people. You've got a wonderful mix and a great response. Most of our churches don't have it. Did you know a lot of our churches are in trouble? They're distracted. When you go into the Lord's house, and honey, a lot of carnal things are going on, and I don't believe the Lord's pleased with that. I don't believe the Lord's church needs anything added to her, do you? She's perfect just like she is. But I wanted you to know that Martha's cumbered about serving. And she tells Jesus, said, I want you to tell Mary, she needs to help me. Well, that wasn't none of the Lord's business, was it? You believe the Lord will try to help you when you're distracted and you're entangled? Do you believe the Lord? Now, watch this. I've always enjoyed reading about when the Lord calls somebody's name. Has the Lord ever called your name? Boy, that's special. Aren't you glad your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight? Aren't you glad He knows you by name tonight? I'm glad of that. But He said, Martha, Martha. Now you may say He was admonishing her. I believe He was comforting her. He said, Martha, Martha. The Lord will always help you. He called her attention to something. He said, you're cumbered about with many things. I believe a lot of God's children and church members tonight are cumbered about with many things. But you know what He said? One thing. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall never be taken from her. How does the church get to that place? If you'll flip your Bibles over, I believe it is, to 11:34. Jesus said, the light of the body is in the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Brethren, can you imagine the Lord's church getting her spiritual eye in unison? Single. Narrow our focus. The whole body, the Bible said, then will be full of light. But if we get distracted and we look at the broad ways out here, honey, darkness will creep in. Did you know that many of the Lord's churches that started out sound, and I want you to know the candlestick was removed and the lamp went out. Why? People got distracted. I tried to preach once, have we fell out of love with Jesus? You say it can't happen. I mentioned Peter. Remember the Lord addressing Peter? I won't go through it all, you understand. He got discouraged. And he got distracted. He went back to his old ways, didn't he? And the Lord came. He said, Peter, called him by name. That covers some people's ground, don't it? I'm glad I'm in His hand, aren't you? And then I found the Lord's hands in His Father's hand. That's protection tonight, brethren. Aren't you glad of that? We're in good hands tonight. Y'all believe that? I believe this church is in good hands tonight. Do you believe that? Let's not get distracted. This whole community, your loved ones, family, friends, they're counting on you. Stay focused. And I wanted you to catch this real quick. Probably need to just move on or I'm going to get way in trouble. Let me just do that. I wanted to give you an example of something and then I'll try to get to an ending part. I thought about the three Hebrew children in Daniel. You know the orders. The worldly condition. And you know, we often hear the story about Jesus and Him being in the fire. And I'm so glad that He's truly gold tried in the fire. And we've had brethren tried in the fire. And they've been purified. And they've come out sound. There's a lot of fool's gold out there tonight. But I'm telling you, I want to tell you the rest of the story. There was a lot of Jews that were in captivity with them three. And you see, they got easily distracted. And I want you to know they did bow down. And I want you to know they didn't have the faith of them three. But oh, I wonder, because of them three, have you ever considered the scene of all them Jews bowed down, that music started, and then when them three came out of the fire? Y'all know the story. I don't have to rehearse that. I wonder how it, I bet there was another fire lit. I believe there's a revival over in that Jewish camp after that, don't you? Just took three. Honey, God didn't choose Israel because they were the greatest or the largest or the most in number. That wouldn't end. You look at us tonight, it'd frighten you if you knew how few of us they are in comparison to this great big world. It'd be right scary if you knew exactly how they felt about us tonight. But I can tell you this, I have no fear tonight, because I'm telling you, I've got all the confidence in the world in our captain tonight, don't you? I sure do. I've got to hurry. I don't want to worry you. I don't know. There might be two or three things on my heart, but I want to give you just one more in the book of Acts, and then I'll try to get to a closing part. But I want you to know that it won't always be easy. The Apostle Paul, in the 19th chapter, he's on his way ultimately to Rome. There's a few stops he wants to make, and he comes to Macedonia, and this place is overridden with idol worship. And they worship the goddess Diana, and they had silversmiths there, one that the Bible names is Demetrius. And they had a craft, and much to our chagrin, they made great wealth off of this. Do you believe people today will make merchandise of you? The Bible says they will. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know why this come on my heart, but now I'm a little, they tell me I'm a little rough, and I speak too plain. I believe the Lord did. I really get upset when people tell me these people are almost like us. I don't believe it. I don't believe that there's anybody that compares to the Lord's church. Because I want you to know tonight that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. But I want you to know he purchased the church with his own blood. And he loves her. She's the apple of his eye. His espoused, if you will. He gave her power up from on high. I believe that he endued her with power from on high. And I'll tell you, I remember I was a part of her before I ever saw her. But I sure do remember when I saw her, and I didn't see her with these eyes, but I saw her with the eye of faith. And just like it was in Rachel and Isaac's day, I want you to know, my friend, she's beautiful, and I fell in love with her at first sight. But she also has the ability to be a mother. Lord have mercy, I'm about to get off track. But I read in Isaiah something that, if you can see it spiritually, said that she dandled me on her knees. And I sucked her breaths of consolation until I was satisfied. Aren't you glad that you belong to the Lord's church, and that she's raised you up and cared for you, nourished you, strengthened you, and when you needed her the most, she was there for you. I'll tell you, the church family will be with you when your natural family won't. So all I want to say about this in the book of Acts is simply this. Oh, tumult. The city was full of confusion. Honey, they heard about Paul, and they'd heard about all those that had been saved and the healing and all of this. And honey, there was a great stir about the way. Did you hear that? Ain't ways. The way. Great stir. So Demetrius goes into town. He stirs the people. And they begin to shout out, "Great is the goddess Diana. Great is the goddess." Now listen, Brother Bear, they'll talk and say, you preach too long. These people went on for 2 hours, according to the book. Wonder why their passion's greater than ours. You ever thought about it? I'll tell you what, if the Lord's leading a man, I can listen to him preach all night. I had a preaching brother. He said, I'll be praying for you. He said, don't let Acts 20 and 9 come to pass tonight. I said, I promise I'll try to quit before midnight. I said, I better, because if anybody falls out and dies, I ain't got no power to bring them back. But you know what the Bible said right there? When Paul was long in preaching. I wonder why it was tolerated then and it's frowned upon now. I can tell you why. We're too easily distracted. Is that right? I need to probably close, don't I? So the Apostle Paul ushered, and I believe it went against his nature. But what I wanted to say, you say, well, why did you mention confusion there twice? I believe it's 1 Corinthians 14:33. Always remember this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, such as in the church of the saints. Don't get distracted. I'll tell you what Satan will bring in amongst us, and that's confusion. I won't go on with all of that, but so what I wanted you to say is stay focused. Don't be distracted, but more than this, don't be afraid, okay? Stand your ground. Don't be afraid to speak out. Before I close, I've got two scriptures, but I wanted to tell you this. There was a young lady in Sumner County. She's a member of the Lord's Church. And they began, as they are now, cramming things down our children's throats that are ungodly. And they told if everyone in the class didn't participate that they would fail, possibly be expelled from school. Oh, I'm so grateful for her. She reminds me of that little maid. She looked at the teacher and she said, I don't care if I fail, and I don't care if you expel me from school. I cannot deny my God and His word. Where did she get that strength at? I've been faced with situations that I backed down in. I didn't speak up like I should. I was chastened. That's how I knew I failed. Let us pray for boldness and strength, brethren. See, you thought that, well, he's going to come in here and boy, he's going to let us have it about all of our distractions. Well, that's the Spirit's job. If you are, you know it. Obviously, I would say you would agree with me. I'm excited. Normally Sunday night, if there's 10 people, you're pretty happy. So I commend you for coming. But you know, brethren, in this day and age, the church, and this is no reflection at Hilltop. I've seen your meetings and your success, but don't you know it could be better? Some of you are older than me. I'm getting old. I remember what it was like when I was younger. It's changed. Some of you can probably remember even more than I can. I remember when the power of God was strong. Do you remember how people flocked to the Lord's house? Honey, they had a desire to come. If your desire has waned, ask God about it. But by all means, don't be distracted. Two things, and I'll try to close. Let me do this first. This, I don't know why, and this probably don't have a thing to do with what I've preached, but it's been on my heart. Brethren, I don't like to linger on things. I'm going to say this, go to Colossians and quit, but if I've ever seen anything that hurts my heart, and it's because of a distraction from men. Thank you, Lord. You know what happened in Israel. They became distracted. We want to be like other nations. We want a king. They denied everything they were told from God. And they made choices and then they paid the ultimate price. It culminated with Jesus Christ coming. So distracted they didn't recognize him. He wasn't what they wanted. And this is simple. You know it's much more complex than this. And yet, I thought about this. You think that our actions have consequences? Jesus went on the mount and he looked over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee under my wings as a hen doeth her brood." But then listen, "and ye would not." What happened to them? They become distracted. And then he said, "and your house is left unto you desolate." Well, brethren, that ought to stir our souls. If it can happen to the natural branch, what in the world could happen to the wild branch? I need to leave that off for sure. Jesus said this, "a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." I'm going to read a verse to you and y'all will know. I don't have to say it. But it sure hurts me in my heart. And I'm pretty satisfied the Lord's not satisfied with a lot of things about the Lord's church today. But I'm going to read you just one verse. And would you listen carefully, Galatians 5:15, I'll close with Colossians. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." I tell you, we ought to all take that to heart. I told a preaching brother of mine, and I love him, and we don't see everything eye to eye. And I said, "I'm tired. All this backbiting and devouring." And I said, I read in the Bible, and you have read it, that judgment must begin first in the house of God. If it first begin at us, then where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Do you believe that you as an individual will give an account? Sure you will. I believe as an individual member of Hilltop Church, you'll give an account. And I believe the church as a whole will give an account. And I believe a minister is going to give an account of his stewardship. Some people don't act like they believe that they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but they will. But I'll tell you, the damage is here, isn't it? And the consequences are here. So I want you to think about that verse. I hope it'll help you, because it certainly distracted us, hadn't it? Would y'all agree with that? It's sad, isn't it? Let me close with some good news. I hope this has all helped you. I hope that it'll make you want to focus. And if you have a problem, say, "Lord, help me." Study his word. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, and you'll be laser focused. If you don't pray, pray. Be continual. If you don't read, read. Know. Ask the Lord for wisdom. I'll close here. Colossians chapter 2, and I'll just begin with verse 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Do y'all believe the Lord's churches love the Apostle Paul? I won't tell you what I like about the Apostle Paul is how he loved the Lord and his church. God have mercy if there's ever been another example outside of Jesus. Boy, he didn't get distracted, did he? And that jury would eat at him, Oh, how knowledgeable. Can I give you this? Sometimes we do young preachers a disservice. The Bible tells us about ordination, and I'm not going into it, but a man that I love dearly planted a grove of fruit trees. Now, do you believe we can learn a lot from nature? So I'm watching this grove, and they've got thousands of these trees down there. And some of them are just real small, you know. And then some of them are mature. So I began to question him. And he said, you want me to give you some knowledge? I said, yeah. And he said, how long does it take this tree before it can bear fruit? He said, 3 years. And he began to talk about how that when the roots were growing deep, the tree was growing up and it was getting strong. You see, those tender branches can't bear the load, you see. And I mean, standing in that grove, the Lord come on the scene. I said, can I tell you something? He said, yeah. Do y'all remember the Apostle Paul? And he was called to preach there on the road to Damascus. Where'd he go? He went in the wilderness of Arabia, didn't he? You know how many years? I'll tell you one thing. When he come out, he's able to bear the load, wasn't he? He was able to produce and bear fruit. Well, we need to make sure we don't get distracted, brethren. Let me close. That their hearts might be comforted. This is to the church now, being knit together in love. Do you remember David and Jonathan? You know what was said about them? Our souls are knit together in love. Hilltop, you want the church to endure and you don't want to get distracted? You need to be knit together, tight, in love. And I believe you are. And it'll serve you well. The storm will come. You've been tried, haven't you? Honey, you don't get distracted. Jesus is there in the storm. He said, into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, whom all are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, finally, by any means, that any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, brethren, as I close with that, you've got a good pastor, good preaching, brethren. And I'm grateful for that. Be careful out here, though. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and preach them the truth. Because there's a lot of things out here vying and competing against the Lord's church. The Bible said that there'd come a day, and it's been throughout all the ages of the Lord's church. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And it said these things are not of the Father. The Bible said that they would be lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now, I want to tell you, everything that preaches is not of God. Every movement is not of God. Don't get distracted. Hold on. Cinch up tight. Knit yourself together in love. Sound in the faith. Rooted and grounded. That's what we need. Church members that are rooted and grounded in the faith. May the roots at Hilltop grow deep. May God bless you all. And remember, this is what the Lord gave me. It's probably a sad effort you've ever heard, and now you know why you ain't never heard me. And I'm going to close how I started. Don't get distracted. If you're here and lost, I don't know your heart, but if there is, I'm pretty sure this pastor and this church don't mind. Honey, at this time, God's dealing with you. He's knocked on your heart's door. He's drawing you to Him. Come to Him. For He says to you, just like He did Peter, come. Sweet words or short words. I love to read that. I just read this often. For the Lord's compassion. When the leper came out of the mountain, You know, they isolated them and they couldn't come around the people. When they did, they'd say, "Leper, leper." He heard Jesus was near. I've got good news. Jesus is near. But he come down out of the mountain. He said, "I'm going to take a chance." He said, "Lord, if thou wilt," boy, isn't that humble? "Thou canst make me clean." And the Lord don't give big speeches like me. You know what he said? "Oh, I love this. I will." What an answer. If you got a problem tonight, he will. This time, if we can stand together, have a song, Brother Jeff, you'll come. I pray that the Lord will get honor and glory.